Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Well, Tom Amirci, he lives in Quebec, and he's been playing the lottery since he moved there 30 years ago. So one day he was sitting rather comfortably on his couch watching a movie when he decided to buy a lottery ticket. So he purchased a lotto ticket on the Lotto Quebec gaming website. However, he could have not predicted just how drastically his life would then change due to that decision. On November 14th, he received a phone call. It was a staff member from Lotto Quebec urging him to check his online gaming account. He admitted he was initially somewhat skeptical. He thought it might have been a scam. But he was stunned when he saw the result. After matching the winning numbers, he won the Lotto Classic prize, making him $5 million richer.
Nice.
Our question, what is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK.
Quick one from the text here. It says, I'm a middle school teacher. So there have been some awkward phone calls. The first detention and call home I made was that, quote, your son and another student would not stop touching each other's butts. It was an awkward detention to write and even more awkward call to make. That is a weird one, man, for teachers.
Yeah. Because they get a lot of crap.
Because everything the kids do at that age in particular is stupid. So if the teachers do have to call you, like, even if your kid's in trouble, whatever the teacher's about to tell you, it's hard not to laugh out loud because it is stuff like that. And then you have to go home and tell your kid, like, hey, stop touching your buddy's ass all the time in school. It's getting on the teacher's nerves. Like, these are the conversations you have. Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, first off, I have listened to KSW for 51 years, and I've been listening to you guys for 20-something years, and this is the first time I've ever got in.
Woot woot!
All right.
We've only been around for 52.
And you realize that...
Graduated in 84, so we were wearing the shirts every day.
Nice.
So anyway, I was a funeral director embalmer in 2006 in Bremerton, Washington, and a family came in, had a dad that died. And I did the preparations and talked with the family about all the plans. And we got along and they thought it was, you know, great. There's like five or six of them. Anyway, before they left, they came to me, one of the aunts, and said, hey, will you do us a favor? And I'm like, sure, what? Well, what's going on? Hey, he kind of has a checkered past. So these two people who think they're like cousins or friends or we don't know what they think they are, would you call each one of them, these young 20-year-olds, a guy and a girl, and tell them that they're their brother and sister?
They wanted you to make that call?
Yes! They wanted me, after 20-something years of them never being told that they were brother and sister, to call them before the funeral and tell them that they're brother and sister.
And what is your response to this when they ask you to do
that?
Hell no!
What? Because, you know, in the funeral business, you come out, there's some crazy stuff. I could talk to you guys for an hour about all this crazy stuff, you know, for 5 years. But that was a doozy. I mean,
yeah,
that was a doozy.
I bet it was. And, Jesus, did you call them?
I mean, well, I called them up and I said, hey, you know, da 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 da. I called the guy first and said, hey, you know, this is Andy. I met you today. And then I called the girl who wasn't there, and she started crying because she said, I knew something was up, but this completes my life. And she had some life-changing moment, but it was rough. We all cried when we saw each other at the funeral.
Jesus.
Are there... But them aunts and uncles made me do it.
I mean, what if you just said, No. I mean, I understand, you know, professionally, you want to protect your reputation, but like, hey, man, I'm not trying to dip my toe in the family water. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I did say no to one thing. There was a mailman who died in Bremerton, and he had seven wives.
Oh, man.
And I had to cordon off the church, and they wanted me to do something, like tell the girls he cheated on every single one of his wives with someone on his route. He was married seven times.
Oh, man.
That's incredible. That's unbelievable.
And none of them knew about each other.
No. But they all had to come to the funeral because each one of them had raised up his daughter who died in a car wreck at 16.
Jeez.
And so I had to go tell the grandpa who's his dad, comes up to me and goes, okay, Amy, what's going on? Who are all these women and why do you have yellow caution tape all throughout the church?
And you did that job for 5 years, man?
Oh, yeah. This is the one thing I got to say. Just know when you're grabbing that taco burrito from Taco Bell, that sooner or later I'm going to have to be moving you around.
Jesus. Okay. Good time.
There you go. Specifically Taco Bell.
What is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK.
How come nobody in the family step off and make that phone call?
I know, man. Hey, do us one last thing. I mean, I'd have flat out no. I'm not getting involved in
that.
This,
just
man.
Doesn't seem like his job.
No, it's not.
No.
He's clearly just being nice. Hello, Russ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. I didn't actually make the call or receive the call, but my phone was involved.
All right.
And by phone, I mean 1992, look like an organizer. You unzip, big battery pack, just right after the brick. But I'm working construction in Vegas on the west side of town, up close to the mountains. Some guy's up there jogging in this housing area, comes jogging out of the hill, says, hey, man, somebody got a phone I can use? You know, I thought about it. I said, I really need to use the phone. Like, all right. So, what's the deal? I got one. He goes, well, I'm jogging up in the hills, and I think I just found a body wrapped in the blanket. I think I need to call the cops.
Jesus. Wow.
And this is, I mean, the mob was still prevalent in Vegas, so everybody there, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, here, use my phone.
Was he right?
Okay.
Did you go check it out?
No, I didn't actually get a chance to check it out because I was working, but cops showed up, then the morgue showed up, and
so yes,
inspector showed up. So I'm pretty sure he was right. Went down.
Okay.
Okay. Well, he was telling you the truth.
Jesus.
I remember the first bad phone call. I did not take the call, but I was heavily involved in this. I was in third grade. It's after school, and most of us kids, when we lived in Colorado, we walked home. Everyone lived in proximity. And there's this one girl who we did not get along. We may have exchanged some words. She ended up with a dog turd smashed into her face.
Yeah.
Compliments of me. I will finish this. So anyway, that ended the conversation. I'm feeling a little better about myself. I get home, and my mother's in the kitchen, and she's on the phone. And when I walk in the front door, the daggers that came out of her eyes when she looked at me, I'm like, oh, no, she's definitely on the phone with this girl's mother, right?
Right, you know.
There's no question about it. Just her face and the way she's looking at me is, I'm going to kill you. So she motions me over, and I hear her saying something to the mother, and then my mother hands me the phone and says, Leslie's on the phone. You need to apologize to this girl right goddamn now. Nope. My mother, what? I said, no, I'm not going to apologize to her. My mother, again, she's like, the story I heard, that you smashed a dog turd in this little girl's face. I did do that. She's like, get on the phone. Like I said, it's when parents get into static radio mode. Get on the phone and apologize to this girl right now. No. So now my mom's kind of embarrassed because obviously the other mother's on the line, right? So my mother just does the quick, hey, I will call you back. I don't know what his problem is. Slams the phone down. She is ready to split me from, you know, chest to groin. And I finally explained to her, because she said, why did you smash a pile of dog ass in this girl's face? Like, she called me the N-bomb. Everything changed. My mother's like, you should have beat her bitch ass. I mean, everything was forgiven. So I had to say, look, that's why I'm not going to apologize to her. I don't normally go around smashing.
Did you get to hear the follow-up phone call?
I did not hear the follow-up phone call, but when I got to school the next day, because my mother pretty much dropped it after that. I mean, she had a few follow-up questions, but I'm like, look, that's the long and short of it. Me and her don't get along, but we've never had any reason to have, like, that kind of issue. But she dropped the N-bomb, and she got what she was looking for, right? She could have just said, hey, would you please smash dog ass in my face? She just did it with a one-word request, and that is what happened. And it would happen again. I will never not do that, right? So my mother's not cool with me, but now she's steamed because this little girl. And look, I don't think the girl's a racist. I just think you're a little kid. You want to find something to dig at something, right? So she went for it.
She heard it somewhere, right? Yeah, she knows it's bad.
Oh, she heard dog ass in the face. So the next day when I go to school, you know, I've kind of forgotten about it. It's just not that big of a deal. But when I walk in the homeroom, I see her. And immediately, you know, it's a quick stare down. And then she gets up from her desk and starts walking toward me. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me, man. We're not dragging this out. And my mom is basically giving me the go-ahead to beat your ass. And Leslie apologized to me.
All right.
So I think what happened is my mother did a follow-up phone call without me in the room, called her back and explained to Leslie's mother what the situation was and why her dog came home covered in dog ass. And it was all good. But, yeah, she apologized to me after that. And what's great about being a little kid, water under the bridge. Then you're fine for the rest of our days together. Absolutely fine.
What is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jevin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Hola.
Hola. Oh, are we there?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
It's your turn.
Okay, yeah. So, my phone call, I was at work about an hour away from home. Neighbor kid called me, and I didn't answer. I listened to the message like 2 minutes later, and I could hear sirens in the background, and he said, hey, Jevin, I'm not sure if you heard, but I think your house is on fire.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Yep. So I threw everything down, rounded up the crew, drove back, unloaded the trailer, and then drove home to my house burned down.
Oh, it burned down?
Pretty much. It was total loss.
Oh, man. So, what started it?
It was electrical in the wall by the front door. It was a older manufactured home.
I don't know who put this stuff in, but they didn't know what they were doing.
That was my first thought. Yeah.
So what is okay, I gotta ask. So what is the process? Did you own the home?
Well, it was my mom's home. I was making the payments. She had moved to Florida.
Okay. But what do you do now? Do you rebuild on that property since it's your mother's, or insurance is going to cover that?
Yeah, insurance gave us enough to get a brand new trailer, manufactured home on the lot. But then the city we were living in decided they wanted a bunch of stuff done before we could do that, added up to like $110,000 before we could put the new trailer on. And so we ended up just selling the lot and buying a place somewhere else. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Wow.
But to lose all your stuff.
That's the worst part. It's not the house itself. It's everything in it, right? I mean, that sucks, dude. Especially get a phone call. Hey, man, I think your house is on fire.
I like the fact that, you know, when you get a new mattress, you get a new mattress.
Sure.
But, you know, you're only going to buy one like every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the process, it's boring.
Very.
It's like 2 or 3 hours. You lay it on a bed. You lay it on another bed. You lay it on another bed. A week later, you get your bed. They come take your old mattress away. That's one element.
Right.
That's of the things that you need to mock. There's one small thing, and you need to do that 9 million times.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're everything in your kitchen, every single thing you have, couches, chairs, you name it, end tables. You need to replace everything.
Yeah.
And that's not even television. The worst stuff. The worst stuff is all of the stuff around it, right?
Yeah. So that's buying a TV. I'll get fired up about that. But other than that, probably not nothing else.
But that's the expensive stuff that you have no attachment to, right? I mean, if my bed caught on fire, I'd be pissed,
It's inconvenient.
Super inconvenient. And like you said, I hate the process. But if the pictures of my kids burned up, that's the depth. Actually, it wouldn't be. I'd go back to my wife's phone and be like, hey, we got to reprint this. But essentially, in theory,
thank God for that.
That would be. But, you know, the crap that they've made for you. How about that, right?
Yeah. All the stuff that you would have thrown away. But it was better than the average art they brought home. You throw away about 60% of kids' art. It's an understood thing. All parents know this. I do not have one plate, turkey, hand thing.
Well, you have to, because kids produce artwork.
You know,
when
they're young, hand turkey,
their artwork.
They're prolific.
They are very prolific, and none of it's good. So what you do is you find the one that you like best, or the one that means the most to you, and then the other 99 drawings that they've included with this, they go.
If they mean to draw it, it's terrible. If it's abstract and weird, it's awesome.
I would say most of the abstract stuff
that's
is the
what
best
you keep.
Stuff.
That's what you keep.
And I hate when kids, it's like, you ever go home, Mike, you're married now. So yeah. Notice anything different? I hate that question, right? So it's the same thing with little kids. They hand you this picture, and guess what it is? Kids, we hate that game because we don't want to hurt your feelings. So it's like, is that a cow? And the thing is, when you're wrong, they find this devastating. They're like, that's not a cow. That's a pig. And I'm like,
Of course it is. There's the snout.
I was just joking. Of course it's a pig. And you're holding it upside down.
Oh. What is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK. It's a guessing game.
I got called out of that by my daughter. She's like three, man. She hands me some picture, whatever. What do you think, Dad? And of course, like, baby, I love this. This is great. And then she looks kind of sad. I'm like, what's wrong? You're holding it upside down. And in my mind, I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Like, I'm trying to make you feel good, kid. I don't know what to tell you. But I can't be honest.
I can't tell you what it actually
is. Oh, yeah. She was real upset, too. And I'm like, I screwed up. Yeah, my bad.
She'll never forget that.
No, she won't.
And then she won't. Even when I turned it the right way, it didn't come anymore into focus. You know what I mean? Like, there's zero chance I'm going to guess what
it's
this
like
is.
It's one of those tests. What do they call that thing?
The Rorschach
test. Rorschach test.
Yes, exactly. What do you see?
I think it's a bird. Am I right?
No. That's mommy.
That's awful.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. Totally called out. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
All right, guys. A little backstory on this one first. Mother was the eldest of six siblings, and this was shortly after my grandmother passed away. I got a phone call from my uncle, who was afraid to call my mom to tell him that he was in the emergency room. Because he was working on the back of his house and ran a skill saw across his thigh.
Oh, so was your mom kind of like the child mother of the group? In other words, was she the whip of the kids?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yes,
because she was the oldest.
So my uncle was just too afraid to call and tell her that he did something stupid. So I got the phone call and I had to call her and tell her. That was a fun afternoon.
Was she pissed?
Oh, she was livid. she was very pissed.
But why was she mad? Yeah, well, he ran a bandsaw.
It's an accident. Leg.
She was pissed because he didn't call her, because he called me.
Oh.
Had nothing to do with the hospital. Well, yeah. Why didn't you call me?
Well, then obviously she should know he's scared to death of you.
I was like, did he tell her why he didn't call her?
I wasn't privy to that part of the conversation, guys. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to guess he didn't.
I'm assuming he didn't, and I don't think it was a fun conversation.
All right.
But,
good times.
That's what happens when you're that one. That's why my dad is. He's the oldest of six siblings, and there's always drama with them. But, man, they'll go through whatever they go through, and I don't understand what most of it is. But if I ever get privy to it, they're like, don't tell your father. And I'm like, you're in your 70s. You know, you're
older.
You are grown as adult. Your life's your own, but it's just, they know if they tell my dad, because he is zero tolerance, bull-ass man, they know that he'll bring the hammer down, but it's still like that. I'm like, you guys are in, your grandparents, you have successfully raised your own children. Why are you scared of this man?
Our question, what is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love Love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We rock. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Terry Daly, Steve Nicks, the Daily Mix Morning Show on the way at 4:30. We'll sit and spin. We've got 10 artists who almost died on stage.
That's rock and roll, man.
Obviously, they did not mean to do that, but they yeah. came close. Sit and spin coming up at 4:30 right after emails on our question, what is the craziest phone call you've either had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Okay, so a little setup here. I had been living in my apartment for, I don't know, like 6 months. And about a month before this, a new neighbor moved in upstairs. Some chick from New York and her boyfriend. And they were kind of rowdy. They had a lot of police interaction. And so one night, I'm sleeping, sound asleep, getting good, nice, peaceful rest, and I get the loudest bang on my door, you know? I open the door, and it's this chick, and she hands me a baby and says, hold this, and then takes off and runs back upstairs.
Hold this thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like, no kids in my life, and I'm, what the hell am I doing holding the baby? You know, like 3 a.m.
How old are you?
And so... At the time, I was like 26.
All right.
But you'd never really been around too many children, right?
No, no, not at all.
See, that's a weird thing for someone who's not babified yet to be in charge of a baby.
It's one thing if you're anybody at 3 a.m.
Yeah. You know who learns that stuff? Uncles.
Yeah.
You know, that's about it. They're the one that people, because you need a babysitter every once in a while. He's the emergency guy.
Yep.
I think it's crazier that he's 26 and even, or at the time, and even he's like, these people are loud.
Right. When a 26-year-old says you're loud, you're loud.
So some stuff, loud, some right? stuff was really going to, I'm already to go down.
So she comes running back down the stairs and.
How long? How long were you with this kid?
For like maybe 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
Okay. Not okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
But long enough for me to be like, what the F, you know?
Sure.
So she comes running back downstairs, and she sits down on the step, and she starts putting her shoes on, and she grabs the kid, and she goes, I got to go. I stabbed him.
Oh!
And I'm like, wait, what? She's gone. She's out. Like, and I'm just kind of standing there like, what the hell did I just hear? And so I do what I thought was reasonable, and I walked upstairs, and the door is kind of like 6 inches open, you know, and I tapped on the door, and I hear this kind of half-dead voice go, yeah, and I was like, you okay in there? He's like, yeah. I'm like, man, what, F this, I'm calling the cops. So I make the phone call the police. They show up, ambulance shows up, they get boyfriend who got stabbed.
Did he have any idea that he was stabbed?
Oh, yeah, he was pretty well known he was stabbed. Yeah, I think he was well aware.
See, if you came to the door, and I'm lying there, I'd be like, dude, call an ambulance. I just was stabbed.
Right.
I mean, that would be my first, that would be, if I had one breath left, that's what I would say.
Not, where did she stab
him? More asleep than me.
Not, I love you, Betty.
Right.
It would be, you know, call the ambulance.
Where did she stab his ass?
Like in the, not like chest, like below, like kind of almost belly.
Okay.
Ooh, oh, damn. All right. Not good.
I want you to bleed out. Okay.
You're not a good place to get stabbed, right? Like, I don't know that anywhere is a good place to get stabbed.
There you go.
There is no good place, but that's still one of the worst. It's like visiting Ohio. There's no good place to go, but some places are worse than others.
It took a while for them to wrap up their thing, right? Like, they got to, you know, cart him out, and they got to, you know, they're asking questions, and they're inside the apartment, which is just thrashed, and... You know, they're doing their thing. And so now it's about 4:30 or so, and they've left. And they're like, look, she might come back. Like, chances are she'll pop back up once she sees that we're gone. Okay, cool, fine, whatever. So I go back to bed, and about an hour later, bang, 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 bang. Now, I know who it is. So I rip the door open. I'm like, what? And now homegirl is standing here. Before, she was just wearing, like, sweats and a T-shirt, and the baby was just, she handed me a baby in a diaper, you know? Uh-huh. And now she's got, like, fully dressed, kids fully dressed. She's got a stroller. She's like, can I use your phone? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
So then she handed me a phone that had been ripped out of the wall, like, no cords in it or nothing. She goes, can you plug this one in? No, get the hell out of here. And she's okay, fine. Just takes off. I'm like, do you want your phone back? She just left the phone in my hand. She's like, no, keep it. And she just took off.
You never saw her again?
I saw her again when the cops came about six more times to that apartment. They frequented that place. You know, at one point they came out and I heard them, and I went and looked out my window that looked out to the parking lot, and I saw there were about seven police officers with, like, rifles drawn behind, taking up spots behind cars. And so that was probably the last time. After that, I decided it was time to move.
So, wait, did she not get arrested for stabbing him the first time?
No. Crazy enough.
Jesus. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, if she did any time, it was not, like, a long time. Like, if they picked her up, she was right back up. They stayed together after that, and
yeah, wouldn't you?
Well, those kind of crazy people do, and that's why the cops kept showing up.
That's why you move out.
But that's why my wife and I are together. She stabs me at least once a week, now, and I'm like, baby,
okay,
you're the woman for me.
I gotta ask, at this high dollar apartment complex, would you go to the management and you say, look, I need to break the lease, and they say why? And you say, well, the person upstairs keeps stabbing her boyfriend, and I'm getting involved with it,
right.
And I don't want to, so I want to leave. Did they let you out of the lease?
No. They actually let me move to a different apartment.
So same complex.
Okay, all right, fair enough.
Yes.
Fair enough.
They didn't kick them out because they were on paid rent, you know?
All right.
Free rent.
Okay. All right,
but
gotcha.
There's still got to be some stipulations for that. Like, hey, just because you're on the, you know, the fixed income, you can't really stab people in your place. I mean,
kicked them out when she lit off a fire extinguisher inside the stairwell.
Good
she was banging,
God.
Trying to bash down their door with a fire extinguisher and lit it off.
I mean, at that point, with that much craziness, like, there had to be drugs involved.
Was she attractive?
There was a lot of alcohol involved. She was not my type.
Okay.
That is a very diplomatic way of saying, I think she's ugly.
Obviously, she's nobody's type, but was she attractive in any way?
That guy's type?
Yes, I know, but...
The guys say,
I know.
She stabbed him.
But guys make dumb decisions based on,
it was, attraction. Yeah, if a girl's, like, super hot, like, you'll, like, you know, like, I can deal with, like, on the crazy hot scale, the math didn't math.
But all right, that's a good way of putting it. We know for a fact that when a mugshot comes out, and it could be the worst of crimes, if someone is attractive, you go, well, ooh. You know, I mean, I guess I'd let her stab me.
Yeah. We say that once.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That one dude who went to jail. He's like a supermodel now.
Yeah. Everybody thought
he was. Because everyone's like, look at that guy, man. He's a good-looking dude.
And look, you're definitely right. I could look at a mugshot and be like, I'd let her stab me. But again, once, I would not stay with her after the stabbing.
Right.
Yeah, to me, that's the difference. Like, because a lot of times they have the crazy eyes in the mugshot, and you kind of go, okay, I'm not surprised that she stabs someone, but I am surprised that he stayed with her.
Yeah. I mean, not right now. But when Tonya Harding did her thing back in the day, gymnast shape, that kind of figure skating shape, right? So when she did her thing, everybody's like, oh, my God, this woman's nuts.
Yes.
And then you watch the sex tape with her and her boyfriend.
You're like, right,
I can see where you could hit someone with a baseball bat in the knee. You know, I mean, stuff happens.
It was not overreact.
Right, exactly. That's just the Olympics. What is the craziest phone call that you've ever had to make or receive? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Amanda. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right. I'm going to take us back in the day. I was a fresh 21-year-old. I was partying in L.A. at the Troubadour.
Oh.
And, so I'm out there with my friend. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. She and I had been having so much fun, just dancing, music, all the good things, drinking. My friend goes out of the bar for a minute. She was a smoker. She also, there was the payphones, you know, so she had to make a call. I had bought the first two rounds of drinks, so it was her turn. She comes back in, and she hands me some cash. It was, like, all wadded up in her pocket. she hands it up to me and says, okay, I want this. And I ordered mine. I passed the money to the bartender. And, like, he does the whole pen thing, you know, like checking money.
Yeah.
I think she's, like, I don't know. I think it was, like, some 20s. I don't recall, like, what the bills were. But at any rate, so he's checking it with the marker. And then he goes back. And I thought he was going to, you know, like, get me my change and that and the drinks and whatnot. But he had pulled some guy from the back area where they were making drinks to come talk to me. And he got the same pen, so he's marking up the money. And, like, you know, I'm kind of tipsy and happy. And they're like, what's your name? And I'm like, I tell them my name. And they're like, who are you with? And I brought my friend over. I'm like, we're together. Like, we're just, you know, chilling. And, I mean, it got really crazy fast. But they basically said that we use fake money. And, they had, like, the security, like, the bouncer had come, like, stepped up right behind the two of us. I mean, this place is packed. There's music thumping, like, all this. I'm drunk. She's drunk. This big old dude is, like, right behind us. They're staring out at us, looking at this cash. We get pulled into a side room, and now there's cops. There's, like, four police cops, cop cars out there. It's, like, six officers in this little room, like, where we're sitting down. And keeping in mind, I'm real drunk. I remember what's going on, like, kind of. But, I mean, I remember that feeling of, like, what the hell is happening here? And so the cop is, like, yelling stuff, like, you think you can do this more than once and all this, like, all this stuff. And I'm freaking out. I'm crying a little bit. My friend's, like, she's mute now. She's not even talking anymore. And so I keep looking at her like, what is this? What is that money? Where'd you get that money from? And she wouldn't respond to me, not to the cops. So finally they leave and I'm in there like crying and talking to her. And she's like, well, I found money at the payphone. And I was like, what? And the cop came back in, like three cops came back in. And I was like, I need to call my grandpa. Like, I need to call someone. So, I mean, I'm drunk. I'm really upset. These guys are behind me. This is a bad predicament. So I call my grandpa, like, drunker than crap. Like, he doesn't even know I drink, you know?
He does,
like,
now.
Good morning.
I was like, Pop, I'm in L.A. at this club, and I'm sure I was not talking clearly. And so he's alert and all that. And at any rate, so I'm having to call drunk to people that don't know I get drunk and party with this situation with fake money and a person who's not talking to other people. At the end of the night, I mean, it took like 3 hours. They had us talking to people. But my grandfather shows up. I'm all skimped out, right? Like, I'm a club kid, so I'm not looking the best either for your grandfather to see. They could tell, I guess, they discovered, like, she was an idiot. Like, she was passing me cash. She shouldn't have been passing me.
Did she not really find that money at the phone booth?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she did or didn't, but whatever money she gave me was fake.
So, but they understood this was on her, right?
She didn't even get in trouble.
Did you get in trouble?
No. I was just embarrassed as all hell. And, you know, that call was not fun.
Did you have actual money to pay the bill?
Oh, yeah. I had cash money on me the whole night. Like, I mean, that was part of my thing is like, hey, I got some money here. Take my money. But, you know, after everything was said and done with the fake cash, they were like, no, we're going to come talk to you. And it was scary. I mean, you don't want to be drunk and have cops show up and you have fake money in your hand. That's not a good situation.
No, that's a federal crime.
Yes. You're right. When you say it like that, you're I do not want to be drunk with counterfeit cash talking to the cops about my counterfeit cash.
I don't want to be sober with counterfeit cash.
I'd rather be drunk with counterfeit cash dealing with the cops, knowing that I have nothing to do with the money, sober. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because drunk, I'm more likely to laugh about it. Like, when you get to the bottom of this, I know that I'll be fine. Right. So I tend to find, like, those things funny when I'm hammered, but sober, I'd be freaking out.
Someone passed this on to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a machine to make money at home. Trust me, I wouldn't be here.
You know, the funny thing about And I don't know why anybody. We had a guy who called years ago, and he's talking about, well, he wasn't doing it currently, but he talked about he'd figured out the ability to counterfeit money, but he was only counterfeiting ones that he used at the strip club. And in my mind, I'm like, if I had the ability to counterfeit, it's going to be 20s and 100s. It's not going to be $1 bills. All right. But a $1 bill is worth $1, okay? Counterfeit money, as they would tell you, is worthless. A buddy of mine, this is probably like 40, 45 years ago, still in Baltimore, his older brother got change, and one of the $1 bills was a counterfeit $1 bill, which they figured out because Washington was spelled wrong.
All right.
All right. So if it's a real $1 bill, it's worth $1. He had collectors that are offering to give him like $5,000 for the counterfeit $1 bill. And I'm like, I will be damned that this is not as worth. I understand why they say it's worthless. It is not currency, but it's certainly worth something to people that collect these kinds of things. And the people that collect these things, it's very under the table because legally you can't have it.
He also but has a guy, Bill Clinton $3 bill.
But the guy didn't want it to spend it. The guy wanted it just because it's a novelty, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah. But it was fascinating because I remember we all, I had to hop on a bus to get to his house when he told me this. I'm like, a counterfeit? Come on, man. That's not real stuff. That's stuff
in
movies.
I guess in theory, counterfeit smaller bills wouldn't get checked as much as long as you...
You ever see the guy break out a pen?
No.
Usually it's been, I think the lowest I've seen is a 10. And I thought that was a little common.
You don't even see a 10 anymore.
But like on a 20 and up, and I get it.
Correct.
But yeah, who's going to take the swipe a pen on a 1?
What is the craziest phone call you either had to make or receive? 206-803-RIDE.
I am with Miles, though. I would be pissed and then be like, of the places I go, who could... Like,
where did I get this?
Right, because you can't imagine you get it from, like, a grocery store or a restaurant you go
to. They would know. Yeah, especially at that age, at 21. Yeah. I feel like all the fake stuff we had at 20, IDs and all that, like, brother, your counterfeit money is from construction paper. It ain't going to work. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, do you guys want a sad story or kind of a fun story?
Fun story.
The story was good. That's one that I told Mike. So me and my buddies were riding our bikes down at Gas Works, having a good time, and we decided to go up to the very, very top of that big old hill.
Yeah.
And then just shoot as fast down as we could go. We were probably in like middle school. Just wanted to see how fast we could go down the hill. Well, my buddy Michael went first, and in middle school, Michael's 6'6", and he's on like a little like POS bike, but. We didn't notice that there was a little, like, walkway about halfway down. So he goes full speed down the hill, hits the walkway, and launches off. And probably lands, I don't know, probably like 15, 20 feet off the side. And then he's like, looks around, lifts his arm, was like, yeah. Then he, like, pulls his shoulder, like, oh, no, not good. You go down, like, oh, well, probably should call your mom. So I call his mom. I'm like, hey, the good news is the bike's perfectly fine. Bad news is Michael's, like, kind of messed up. Turns out he like, broke his collarbone in, like, 3 different places. And the other had, like, a whole, like, titanium plate put in, screws, and all that stuff. And actually, the bike was totaled as well. So, yeah.
And the bike was I like the middle school logic. First of all, no call's good when it says the good news is, because that means I have bad news to tell you. But the kid's point of view is good news. There's nothing wrong with the bike. As a parent, we don't care. If the bad news is my kid, hey, good news. Don't get upset. The bike's fine. But your son got hit by a car. Yeah. Like that, I don't need good news.
When my buddy got run over by an 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
Okay, so his mom called me the next day. She said, I need to tell you something about Joel. He got into a wreck last night in Pennsylvania. An 18-wheeler ran over him. He is not in good shape. But will you please, but he was moving. So he's like, could you please go and get his stuff out of the car?
Okay.
At the impound lot, which was in Mount Morris.
What did his car look like?
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone. You could not open the doors. You could not get into the car.
We have an 18-wheeler drove over it.
So we went to the guy who was in charge of the lot, and he gave us a sledgehammer. We were able to get through a window and then crawl in and get into the glove compartment and try to take as much stuff as we could.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to go look at it because...
I get it, man.
She already knew that he was life-flighted out and all that stuff. But that phone call was weird. I'm like, where are we going? What are we picking up?
And what happened?
We walked around that impound lot for 5 minutes. We couldn't... His car's not there. And the guy's like...
just smashed?
He's like, it's right there. And I'm like, that's not Joel's car. And my buddy Brian's like, oh, God, it is. Like, man, that's...
Wow, man.
That's, it was... We were like, uh-oh. The fact that he's alive is...
I can't figure that one out.
Good news and bad news.
Taran Daly, Steve Mix from Daily Mix Morning Show. Coming up, we'll sit and spin. We got 10 artists who almost died on stage. That's coming up at 4:30. And your email's on the way next in the men's room at KISW.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.